Well, welcome, listeners, to Siouxland Catholic Radio's Faith in Action, a locally produced program which airs every Monday morning at 9 o'clock and replays every Saturday at 7 o'clock. And as you can guess, I am Lisa Niebuhr in today for Joanne Fox, alongside Ann Reed. And today we have two very special women with us from the Mercy One Child Advocacy Center, Amy Scarman and Mary Hendricks. Hello, ladies. How are you both today?
Good, good. Thank you.
Mary, some of our listeners have heard you before when we talked about Mercy One's volunteers. Will you remind our listeners who may not know you as well a little bit about your role at Mercy One Siouxland?
Sure. My role is the Director of Mission Integration, and some of my role is the oversight of our volunteers, our community health and well-being work out in our communities, and then supporting our spiritual care team. As a mission leader, then I support the ethics role at the hospital and just making sure our mission is throughout the entire hospital.
And Mary, one of the important parts of Mercy One Siouxland's mission is your Child Advocacy Center. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
And we are here today joined by Amy Scarman from Mercy One's Child Advocacy Center. Amy, for our listeners who haven't had the opportunity, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm the manager at the Mercy One Child Advocacy Center. I've been there for just over 18 years. I spent the first 14 as a forensic interviewer at the center and the last 4 years as the manager.
And Amy, earlier this month, because this program is running in the middle of April, we saw many Mercy One colleagues and people throughout the community wearing blue because it was Go Blue Day for Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. Tell us a little bit about why this month was started and some of the activities that Mercy One Siouxland did to help bring heightened awareness to child abuse in Siouxland.
Sure. On April 1st, we did have the Wear Blue Day, so we really encouraged all of our colleagues and people in the community to wear blue in honor of Child Abuse Prevention Month. And Child Abuse Prevention Month was really begun because we wanted to raise awareness about the fact that this does happen in our community and in lots of communities. And we want to really focus on how to prevent abuse from happening to our children so that we can reduce those numbers and start to work on the prevention end instead of being on the reaction end of things.
And Amy, what are some of the ways that individuals can support Mercy One Siouxland's Child Advocacy Center? Before we got started, you were talking about blankets and some other fun things. Tell our listeners a little bit about it, if you would.
Yeah, so we really want to focus this month on, obviously bringing awareness to this issue, but some of the things that we've done with our colleagues is we've done some wellness activities at the hospital to really encourage people to take a look at this issue. We've encouraged people to wear blue. You might see pinwheels out in the community and in various places, and the pinwheels are really a symbol of a carefree childhood that every child should have. So the pinwheel has been sort of adopted as the sign of Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is a really nice, fun thing to see out in the community. And the other thing that we're really encouraging people to do if they want to support some of the services that we have is they can drop off fleece blankets with us. We use those when children have exams at the Child Advocacy Center, and it's a nice comfort item for them to take home. So those can be dropped off at the main lobby at the coffee shop at Mercy One at any time.
Amy, you talk about pinwheels, and I think about fun, but I realize that pinwheels are multifaceted. I'm guessing that child abuse is multifaceted. It may not be something as obvious as a scratch, a scar, etc. What are the different ways in which a child might be abused?
There are different types of abuse. Obviously, there's physical abuse. There's sexual abuse, which we tend to see a lot of at the advocacy center. There's emotional abuse. There's neglect, which is a huge type of abuse, particularly high numbers with neglect. There's also things like drug exposure or exposure to violence as well.
And Amy, what are some of the warning signs that whether I'm at church, whether I'm at the store, whether I'm at school, what are some of the warning signs that I should be looking for if I suspect that there might be abuse?
That's always a really tricky thing to talk about because kids all react very differently. So we talk about red flags, but by no means does that mean that every child who exhibits some of these symptoms are being abused, because those symptoms can also mirror things like trauma or other issues or mental health concerns that the child may have. But some of the things that I like to talk about are when you see a child have drastic behavior changes, I think it's always good to start having conversations with them to find out why. I think when you've got a child who has inappropriate to their age knowledge of sexual topics or displaying sexual behavior that is not appropriate, those are good times to start talking to them. And then I think also it's important to talk about if you see a child who's experiencing all of a sudden extreme anxiety or other behavior problems or starting to use substances, those are another good reason to start having conversations about what might be going on.
Amy, if I'm a parent or somebody in a grocery store and I see something, when do I pick up the phone or bring it to somebody's attention? Maybe it's just Johnny's having a bad day or Johnny's having a temper tantrum. When do I know to pick up the phone when I'm out in the community and say, hey, I'm concerned about something, and when do I not pick up the phone?
I always encourage people to err on the side of caution, because the great thing about our child protection laws are that if you are making a report in the best interest of the child, then you're never going to be in trouble for making that report. So if you're concerned that something has happened, I would always say to call in, make the child abuse report stating your concerns. And the other thing is you don't even have to give your name. You can report anonymously if you're concerned about someone retaliating in some way towards you.
Amy, do I call a particular number? Do I say something to like a school administrator, a pastor, a community leader? What's that? Who's that right person I should first go to?
We always encourage you to make a child abuse report with the hotline. So each state has their own hotline. There's an 800 number for Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. We encourage that because you were the one who firsthand saw and had knowledge of something that might have happened, and you're the best source of information. So it's really best to go straight to the hotline and let them know versus funneling that through another person. However, it does get confusing sometimes to the general public. They may not understand why the hotline wouldn't accept your concerns. They unfortunately do have rules about what they can accept and what they can't because of state laws. If they're unable to accept it, though, through the state hotline, you are also able to call your local law enforcement and share your concerns that way.
And Amy, what are some other areas of concerns, things that I should be attentive to when I'm making that call? Should I just say, I noticed little Johnny sharing something that was inappropriate, or what all do I need to report when I pick up the phone and share those concerns?
I would share as much information as you have available to you. So any concerns, regardless of how big or small they seem, should be reported. Anything you heard the child say specifically, say that in the words you heard them say them. Any information you have available to you to report to the hotline or to law enforcement is going to be helpful to them to proceed with their investigation.
If I'm a volunteer, let's say with the Scouts or 4-H, et cetera, and I've made a call, should I document it in case I need to pick up the phone again and make another report? Is there any importance for me keeping track information or not necessarily?
I think that's a personal choice. If you feel better about that, then I would say do that. By no means would you be required to track anything like that.
Amy, if a call comes to the Child Advocacy Center, tell me a little bit about how long you've been around and the services that the Child Advocacy Center provides to families if the call that I'm making leads a child to see all of you.
Sure. We've been around since 1989. At that time, there was a specific case that happened in the Siouxland community where a child sort of slipped through the cracks at that time, and there wasn't an organized method of dealing with that abuse at the time. So a few people from the emergency department at Mercy, as well as the local law enforcement people, the county attorney's office, they got together and decided to put together the Child Advocacy Center, which created a more coordinated effort to deal with those cases. Once the Child Advocacy Center was formed, a child is referred by either law enforcement or Child Protective Services through DHS, and then they come to us to have forensic interviews, medical examinations. Our family advocates spend some time with the caregivers who come to the appointment with them. We have therapeutic services that we offer. We have trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, as well as parent-child interactive therapy. And we do trauma assessments for all of the children who come through to have interviews done. So we assess whether there's a need for further services for them. The great thing about that is that children come to one place and have all of that done at once. They don't have to speak to an interviewer, a law enforcement officer, a child protective worker, a school counselor. You know, the list gets to be very long of all the people that they could speak to, but we want to minimize the trauma that they experience and having to retell their story a ton of different times. So we like to have that all done at once, and those investigators are able to observe and be a part of that interview as it's happening.
So really, you are that spoke, as you were talking about, in bringing all of the services together to help a child be able to navigate through those challenges and go back to having a wonderful life.
That's what we hope for, yes.
And Amy, tell me a little bit about you and your staff. Our listeners want to know if my son or daughter or my child's friend is referred to all of you. Tell us about the fabulous people as we take a quick moment, and if you'll excuse me, to take a break, and then we will come right back after we thank our sponsors to hear more about the fabulous staff at the Mercy One Child Advocacy Center.